Kicking off hour number two of the program here, Fox Sports Knoxville. It is Three and Out alongside Houston Kress and Davey Hudson. I'm Nate Hodges. We're talking about Butch Jones' comments yesterday and kind of the state of Tennessee football, media coverage in general, how he's handled it during his tenure, and, of course, yesterday's rant. Late, about halfway through, he starts a new paragraph with, "I think all of us as human beings have to self-check ourselves, and you may not like that answer, but I'm a father, I have three boys, and I think we sometimes have to put ourselves in the role of a parent as well, and I understand you all have jobs to do. My expectation as a football coach, I'm the caretaker of Tennessee football. I'm here to develop and grow the football program, recruit the best possible student athletes to represent the University of Tennessee and win football games and graduate our players. That's my responsibility. I take that very seriously, but also I love our kids and I'm going to protect our players. I'm going to protect our program. Sometimes the negativity is overwhelming. If everyone is Vols fans, how do we let our opponents use this in the recruiting process with fake news? Sometimes, again, we have to check ourselves. What are we here for? What's our values and principles that guide our life every single day? And I appreciate everyone in this room. You guys have a job to do, and I'm respectful of that. I'm friends with a lot of you guys in the room, and I appreciate it. But also, there comes a certain time where enough is enough. So thank you guys. Have a great day. Da, da, da.
Did Joel Osteen write this?
Like, how he doesn't understand the job the media has to do. Like, this, if everyone is Vols fans, first of all, everyone in the media is not a Vols fan. And if they were, that would really be I think that's a problem. Maybe, I know there are people out there that would just rather read all the positive stuff. But And maybe that's fine when things are going pretty well. But at some point, when you beat UMass 17-13 and you lose again to Florida in the Swamp on another 63-yard game winner, you know, in back-to-back years in the Swamp, you allowed the final play on offense for Florida to go 63 yards for a touchdown. Like, fans want to know, like, what happened? How did this happen? At a very minimum, even positive fans want to know, how did the bad stuff happen?
Right.
Right? Like, don't fans want to know why Shy Tuttle wasn't in the football game? That's how this whole thing started. Like, even the most positive fans, don't you want to know why a guy didn't play?
They want to know. I guess the question is, do they deserve to know? They deserve to at least have the question asked, right?
Well, I think you deserve to know why a kid didn't play. Is he hurt? Is he suspended? Is he now? Do you deserve to know his medical records? No.
Right. Okay.
But there's a big difference. Like if Shy Tuttle doesn't play, though, you should know if he's hurt or suspended or kicked off the team.
Right.
Or sick. Or right. Like, I mean, that's basic information.
No, I think yes. I don't know that they deserve to have. I mean, this is like a big fundamental thing, right? I mean, this is a public university. It's a really big deal. People buy tickets. Like, as a ticket purchaser, as someone who invests in the program, don't you have the right to know certain things? Like, if I have tickets to this weekend's game, and like Florida fans, for example, like, did they not have the right to know who was suspended and why heading into that Michigan game? Like, the people who are going to travel and go to Texas and buy tickets that have already, like, do they not have a right to know, hey, when you get there, here's what you can expect, kind of? I don't know. That's a great question. That's a really great question. I personally think that if you're buying tickets, if you're buying gear, if you support the team, if the university counts your money as their own money after you spend it, then I think you are entitled to at least have those questions asked in public. Yes. I think at that point, you deserve at least some semblance of the truth when it comes to the 85 scholarship players that may or may not take the field that weekend. I do believe there needs to be some form of transparency there, because at that point, you have directly influenced the outcome of a game. And I get it. I realize that buying a t-shirt does not mean I built the locker room. I get that. But you have to include those people. Like, without them, you don't exist. And I think it's very important that as a university, as any university, as any athletic department, and even to the NFL level, I think it's important that those people are included, that you have the information to them. I think that's fair. I think that once you give somebody money, you're saying, like, hey, but, you know, like, shoot me straight. Don't lie to me. I personally believe that. I don't think fans deserve to be lied to. If you want to say no comment, say no comment. But I do not think that fans should be lied to.
I think you need to be able to ask questions about what you see on the field on Saturday. And if a kid misses a game, you should be able to ask. If a kid, you know, Juwan Jennings was another kind of sore spot of the press conference. I mean, Butch Jones said Juwan Jennings wasn't on the sideline for games because he just can't take it. He's such a great kid that he just can't take being on the sidelines and not being able to play. I mean, get out your shovels, folks, because that's something incredible right there. I mean, like, I don't understand why Butch Jones lies about stuff that doesn't even need to be lied about. That I guess that's what's incredible to me. If you need to kind of color the truth to protect a kid's, you know, medical, fine. You know, if you don't want it out that he's got, you know, a chronically bad knee because it might hurt him in the NFL and you're trying to help the kid get as healthy as possible, fine. I mean, there's ways to protect the program without just looking people in the face, lying to them, telling them that it's the truth, and then blaming them for asking the question. Like, that's just – it boggles – the mind, and the fact that he's compounded this on top of situations where fans just want him to say, yeah, we should have gone for two, or yeah, we should have done this, or, you know, but he always tries to find the basically the lying reason, you know, analytics or, you know, the chart, or like all of those were lies. They all have been. And it's just another example. And now it's the media's fault for asking a question. No, you answer it. You have complete control over the answer to that question. Answer it however you want. And then to say that the media is Vols fans and that, you know, the media should check itself and how it's hurting the program, like, this is blatant shooting the messenger, right? Like, all the negativity is coming from inside the program. Like, if Shytel doesn't get punched in the face and doesn't miss a football game, there is no negativity. Right. And those are facts that happen.
Right.
If you're not playing like absolute ass this season with a team that could be a lot better, there would be no negativity.
That's a fact, by the way. That's also a fact.
Yeah, I mean,
that they're playing like butt.
I mean, it's
a team that could be pretty good.
It's a way to deflect. It's a way to make the issue something not how the football team's performing.
Right.
And maybe that's the plan.
It's just classic deflection and manipulation.
Yeah.
It's classic.
And bullying. It's bullying.
It's classic. No, I'm not, you are. That's what Butch Jones did. Like, to boil it down, he was asked about his football team, and he said, I'm not, you are. That's what he said. He said, I'm telling the truth and you're lying. I'm not, you are.
That's a great point. Let's go to the phones. We've got Jay on the line, 865-546-8200, if you want to join the program. Jay, you're on Three and Out.
Guys, let me ask y'all something, man, because the inevitable is going to happen this Saturday, I fear, and we're going to lose this game, and Butch is going to be done. But some people, you know, have mentioned, I kind of was thinking about, what do I want out of the next Tennessee coach? And, you know, as far as what they're good at, kind of the qualities, you know, all that sort of thing. And I was thinking about it. You know, Justin Fuente, Bobby Petrino, and Chip Kelly are all names that have been kind of brought up as far as maybe possible replacements. And I think you could have a legitimate chance of getting all those. I think Tennessee is a better job than Louisville and Virginia Tech by far. So, but my problem with them is that while they do have great offensive systems and they do win a lot, they don't recruit well enough for me. And I think that the next coach, as simple as it sounds, they need to recruit well and coach well. Butch recruits well, but he's not a great coach. He doesn't recruit. He doesn't coach up to the level of his recruiting talents. And I think you need a coach to do both. And when you look at Justin Fuente and Bobby Petrino and then Chip Kelly when he was at Oregon, they don't really – I mean, they don't even sign top 15 classes. I mean, they kind of float around there in the 20 to 25. And I don't think that could be successful here. I think you can get away with that in the ACC or the Big Ten or even the Pac-12. But when you talk about you can sign the 13th-ranked class in the country and be 7th or 8th in your own conference when you're in the SEC, I think you have to have an elite recruiter and an elite coach to win in this. And I don't think those guys that I just mentioned are that. That's why I don't think they would be successful. I just it's crazy as that sounds. You know, Chip Kelly's a big name. I don't think they would do that well here unless they improve their recruiting dramatically.
Jay, I would say that Tennessee recruits itself. And I would also say that Chip Kelly may not like recruiting. He was still pretty good at it at Oregon. Like, Bobby Petrino may not like recruiting. He still had Arkansas in the SEC championship and, 11-1 at one point. So if they can do it at places that are not close to typically, you know, recruiting hotbeds, and they can still get you to 11-1, and in Oregon's case, you know, he got them to a national championship against Auburn that took kind of a fluke run for Auburn to win that. Like, what could they do at a place that self-recruits as well as Tennessee? I agree with you. I think Tennessee, you need to have someone who is recruiting focused, but I also think that I think Derek Dooley has kind of really, really killed Tennessee's opinion, Tennessee fans' opinion of what Tennessee can. Derek Dooley, hear me say this, guys. He really did not recruit. I'm not saying he didn't do it well. I'm saying he basically did not. And he still got some NFL talent. Now, they weren't good and they weren't well coached, but I looked it up yesterday. There's still a lot of people. They might not have been drafted because they didn't perform in college, but a lot of people that Derek Dooley signed went on to play and are still playing in some cases in the NFL. So they still got NFL talent. They were just completely underdeveloped in their time here. So if you have a guy who not only can, you know, not fall asleep at the wheel as a recruiter, can at least give some effort, and then can take those players and develop them and coach them up, I think those types of coaches can, in fact, win and win big at a place like Tennessee. I think the 3 years of Derek Dooley need to be, stricken from the record. Everyone needs to wipe that out of their memory because that's not, that is not what Tennessee is.
Well, Houston, I completely agree with you on that. And I guess when you, or Nate, I can't tell. Y'all sound exactly
Dead
the same.
Dumb
I know.
This was Houston.
I know we went over this, but why? When I look at it, if you look at the past 10, 15 SEC champions or, you know, whatever, I'm willing to bet, or even 20, I'm willing to bet that they recruit at an elite level, much higher than what Chip Kelly or Bobby Petrino or Justin Fuente, just to use them as an example, has ever done. And one thing that I didn't like about Chip Kelly, and I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, Butch ain't even been, you know, one thing I didn't like about Chip Kelly is that he had small offensive and defensive lines, and that ain't going to work against Bama. Bama will pound you if you do that. You know, if you remember that, he was kind of known for having small offensive and defensive lines. That's another thing I didn't like. But the other thing that I would like to see out of a coach, guys, I don't want a 100% shotgun offense, whether it's spread option, all these different terms. I want to go under center more. I want to be more physical. I want to have a offensive line that will line up under center and just pound people. You know, Tim Priest, you know, the judge, he was talking about, you know, he's offensive lineman from Tennessee. You know, when you play in that kind of shotgun spread, you lose physicality. And I'm fine with going in the shotgun, but I don't want 100%, just personal preference. If the next coach, I don't want them to be 100% shotgun.
Thanks for the call, Jay. We appreciate it. I mean, we're definitely way ahead of the game there. Yeah. I definitely think you what's interesting about Butch Jones is he came in like speed, no huddle, like he's even already adjusted to the SEC. So I think,
yeah.
I mean, I think you could, would Chip Kelly, if he's in the SEC, coach differently, especially now after some time off in the NFL? Who knows? I don't know. From the recruiting standpoint, I mean, isn't that what everybody criticized Steve Spurrier of doing? Like, not even at Florida? Oh, he's not really recruiting as a high level as he could at Florida. And, I mean, he won plenty of SEC championships.
Yeah, I mean, it's very rare to find the amazing X's and O's coach / motivator who also recruits at the highest level. It's very, very rare. His name is Nick Saban, and he does not happen very often. So the question at that point becomes, which one would you rather have? Would you rather have a guy who recruits really, really well and brings in good talent but isn't good at an X's and O's? Because that's what we have now. That's what we have right now. He's a fine recruiter. He's a good recruiter. He recruits in the top half of the SEC. He recruits top 15 nationally. But he's not finishing in the top 25. Or he's finishing right in the top 25. So you're taking top 10 talent and finishing 25th nationally. So you're actually taking better talent and coming in worse. Would you rather do that, or would you rather have a guy who recruits, say, 25th level talent, but finishes you in the top 10? Would you rather have a great X's and O's guy and a great motivator? You're seeing it play out right now. You're seeing what these people who celebrate star rankings in February get. I'm not saying recruiting isn't important, but people who brag all offseason about, yeah, but look at our recruiting class. It doesn't matter if you don't have a coach who can develop those players or even just keep them on damn campus. It doesn't matter. Like how many people look back over Butch Jones and say, yeah, he's a great recruiter, and look at our recruiting? A lot of people do that, but what has it gotten you? Have you won the East?
Nope.
Have you beaten a top 10 team?
Nope.
Have you competed for an SEC championship?
Not even close.
Have you made a playoff berth?
Light years.
Have you lost to really bad teams who are just better coached than you?
Yes.
Okay.
Multiple occasions.
That's my point. I love recruiting. I love following recruiting. I think it's very interesting. I think there is some, I mean, of course, college football loves it because it keeps their calendar longer, right? It extends the season. But recruiting really does not matter if you can't develop the talent.
You have to have both. You just have to have both.
Dooley was Butch Jones without the recruiting. Maybe even a little bit better in-game coach, but there was just no recruiting. Butch Jones is the recruiting, but very little of the development and the coaching.
And he's refused. You want to make the whole Dabo Swinney argument? You want to do that? Butch Jones has refused to bring in people like Dabo Swinney did. He's refused to bring in. He's refused to go outside and bring in. And even when he has, the one person he has in Bob Shoop has somehow been so much worse than he ever was at any previous stop that it's just been an absolute train wreck. So you got to do one or the other. You know, if you can't do it, you got to let people that know what they're doing go. We'll get back to the phone lines on the flip side. Stick with us right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Welcome back to 3 and Out here, Fox Sports Knoxville. Davey's having to keep us all straight here on the program. It's 3 and Out. I'm Nate Hodges alongside Houston Kress, Davey Hudson. We're going right back to the phone lines. Appreciate you guys hanging tight. We go up to the Tri-Cities. We've got Jim in Kingsport. I want to get his thoughts. Jim, you're on 3 and Out.
Hey, guys, I think Butch told you some truth. What was his three priorities that he listed in his press conference?
Oh, God. I don't know. Educate us.
Recruiting, graduating our student-athletes, and winning football games.
Okay.
I want a coach that wants to win football games. Now, he sold me the first 2 or 3 years on the brick by brick, and we're building a program and all that. And I understood
sure.
There was some rebuilding and yada, yada. I suffered for years down in Florida. I grew up half a mile from Seminole Stadium.
Oh.
Okay. Under Bobby Bowden. All those years. Didn't beat Florida. Finally beat Florida. Oh, my gosh. And you remember the 90s when they won their championship. And they were, you know, top three, top five the whole time.
Sure.
Now where are they?
0-2.
And falling.
Yes.
Fulmer wins championship. Fulmer starts falling. Tumbling. We get rid of him. And we've gone on through this whole loser cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Butch comes in. Butch is selling people on the program. Great. But I need a coach that wants to win games. Not that wants to build characters. Not that wants to help people achieve championships of life. Although I appreciate that, I really want a coach that when you're on 6 inches from the goal line, you hand it to the man who can run the ball into the end zone and win the damn game.
So, Jim, are you saying that his priorities are out of order, that his number three should be his number one? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but I think that's what they told him his priorities were.
That's a good point.
See, he's the head coach, but he ain't the head man. Somebody signs his check, and it ain't you and it ain't me. It's the chancellor or the athletic director or whoever it is. But whoever it is, they're the ones that told him, here's your priorities.
It's a good point. I appreciate the call, Jim. It's hard to argue because now, I mean, well, it's been 5 years. Now you have an AD.
And a new chancellor.
The
two people who hired him are no longer there.
But the athletic director has specifically made his motto, and he's put it out, you know, in graphic form and everything.
Will it help us win?
Will it help us win? Yeah. So I think at least at the athletic director position, we can be assured, Jim, that now winning is at least number one. Like, the narrative John Curry wants you to believe, whether it's true or not, is that he is focused on will it help us win. And I think that's what's kind of the next phase. Like, we're going to see at what point – we're going to see where John Curry really stands on this, because you've got so many, like, the different opinions on how close – I think everyone agrees Butch Jones is on a really hot seat now. But there are still varying opinions, wildly apart, of how close he is to being fired. Some people think if he loses badly on Saturday that it could come right then. Some people think it would take a loss against a team that's much, much worse than Tennessee for that to happen in season. Some people think it's most likely to happen at the end of the season if the whole season doesn't go well. And, you know, some people think if he just rinses and repeats 8-4 and doesn't have a bad loss that he'll be rolling into next year. So it's a whole thing. Next we go to J.B. Seval on the phone lines, 865-546-8200. J.B. Seval, you're on 3 and Out.
Man, it's only Tuesday. What a week.
It's only Tuesday. It's only September. Like, we've only played 4 games.
Thing up to be a complete nightmare. And I really think that yesterday, after his press conference, John Curry lost a lot of points by not just saying, okay, we got to remove this guy right now. There's no question he is completely unhinged. But I guess my worry is that we unfortunately have the talent to beat Georgia this week. And so what is the benefit of having Butch Jones on the sideline? Because now you've got fans that, I mean, what – Why would you make your fan base have conflicting feelings going into your biggest home game of the year?
It's a great question. It's a great question.
Are we supposed to root for this team to win?
Not only that, you're supposed to check or kneel, and according to the press release.
I mean, that's another thing that I'm like kind of worried about John Curry, because it's checkered, you know, let's just
I think we're losing it, JBC.
Yeah,
probably.
JBC,
probably on the morning commute.
Your phone's cutting out there, buddy.
But no, I mean, like,
it's a great point.
Yeah, let's expand on that. Right, you've got a lot of things swirling right now about your football program. Some of it true that you don't want to be true, but it is. And instead of coming out with some type of unifying, let's all pull together in the same direction this week and see what happens, you get well, this job's just really hard because the media's mad at me all the time. Because the media is unfair, because the media makes stuff up. It's a great point. I mean, it's again another deflection. It's almost another preemptive excuse, which is something he's done in his entire time here, where you come up with a reason to fail before you actually fail so that you can say, I told you so. I told you this was going to be hard. I told you I couldn't win this game against Georgia because I was so overwhelmed with the negativity all week. It's a problem. It's a problem. It's a lack of leadership is what it looks like to me. And Nate, we were talking about it during a break. Like, I think a lot of it is he didn't understand what this job was when he got here. You know, at a place like Central Michigan, winning 6-7 games a year, that's great, man. That's great. At a place like Cincinnati, to win 8 or 9 games a year and compete for your conference championship, that's pretty good, right? I mean, there's not a lot of Cincinnati fans, but like the ones that you got, they appreciate that. They know that you're going to go on the road and play in Oklahoma or a Texas or a Florida or whatever and maybe lose that game, but can you be good in the conference? Can you get to 8 or 9 wins? And if you can, wow, that's a great season. But then you come to Tennessee, a place with tradition as rich as anybody, with facilities and a fan base as good as anybody else in the recruiting area of the country, that no, you don't have, at least at the time, the greatest in-state, but you can hop to Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, Louisiana, Texas. Like, you have the biggest recruiting budget in the country. You have everything at your fingertips. The world is smaller than it's ever been. But what do you also have with that? Expectations, responsibilities. How many people do we think covered Central Michigan football? How many people do we think were at the Monday morning press conference at Central Michigan football?
Two. Something from the town and something from the school, like an internal, like the student newspaper?
I'll give him like 3 or 4. I'll give him maybe even 5. I'll give him maybe 5 people showed up to those. And maybe it was more. Do you know how many people show up to cover Tennessee football?
As many as they'll let through the door.
Where does Central Michigan football rank in the pantheon of Michigan sports?
Central Michigan?
Central Michigan. Big Blue, Michigan State, the Lions. You're at best, at absolute best, the 4th most interesting football team in the state. I said at best.
Oh, sorry. I missed you said football team. I was about to go Pistons.
Oh, no.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, sure. No, and you're right. I'm just saying football, you're at least 4th. Then bring in the Pistons and Big Blue basketball and Michigan State basketball, right?
Oh, yeah.
So what do we think? You're 7th or 8th most interesting sports franchise in Michigan at absolute best?
Absolutely ridiculous.
Then you go to Cincinnati. Where do you think Cincinnati football ranks in the pantheon of sports interest in the state of Ohio?
Just say the city of Cincinnati, which should be even more fair to Cincinnati. But still, like, Ohio State is bigger in the city of Cincinnati than Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah, okay,
football.
Yeah, sure.
You see
sure.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Doesn't matter,
it's,
but yeah.
It's 6-1, half dozen to the other. But yeah, I mean, like, Xavier, more important probably. Draws more fans per
definitely
year.
Basketball, though.
Cincinnati basketball...
Football.
I mean, maybe it's close with Cincinnati basketball. Like, it's still university support, so I'll count it. But, yeah, I mean, like, the Reds.
Bengals.
Cavaliers, Bengals.
Ohio State football and basketball.
Ohio State. Hell, probably Michigan football, honestly.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because, you know, I mean, there's so many things.
Kentucky basketball.
Kentucky. So, you're the 8th, 9th, 10th at best in the state of Ohio in your own city. Then you come to Tennessee. I get the Titans are on the way up, but Tennessee football in Knoxville, in the state of Tennessee, is number 1 by a mile. He's not prepared for this. So he gets here, and he doesn't understand, wow, why are there so many media people here interested in what I have to say? Why are my same tired lines growing old? Why are these people not just getting the quote and going to write their article? Because people care too much. They care more than, oh, let's see if Tennessee won. Let me check the sports page on a Sunday morning. It's way more interesting. Like, people just care too much for that. You cannot use that line of thinking to take a job like Tennessee. So now instead of having four people at Central Michigan cover press conferences and seven people cover him at Cincinnati, like he goes to the post-game press conference, there's like 50 people in that room. Like ESPN's there. Like you watch, because I'm starting to tell you that you know it's going to get bad when the buzzards start circling and when you have the national sports writers fly in to ask questions in the post-game, that's when you know it's bad. So I'll be interested to see who's in town this weekend. But I'm just saying, like, he wasn't prepared for this. It matters too much. The same tired lines grow old, and fans at a place like Tennessee, there are more of them. They care more. And because of that, because of their support, like, they want to know as much as possible. You can't do the whole, I coach football, leave me alone. You don't get to do that here. It doesn't work that way.
Yahoo Sports, who obviously had no one at the Monday presser, their headline, "Fake news rant shows Butch Jones doesn't understand role of media."
That's not fake news or negative. That is people in the business telling you this guy doesn't get it. Who wrote that? Did 40 write that? I'm sure he did, but I'm just curious.
It was Sam Cooper, actually.
Oh, Sam Cooper.
Dr. Saturday.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, like, I don't blame Butch Jones. I don't blame him. Like, he wasn't ever going to turn down the $3-point-whatever million he got when he came here, or $3 million. It wasn't his job to turn it down. The problem was that you had leadership at the time that didn't get rid of Derek Dooley fast enough, and that got down to what was Butch Jones, like, the 6th, 7th choice? Like, that's a problem of leadership.
I thought it was 5th to give him credit for.
I mean,
where you're going.
Maybe he was fit.
It doesn't matter, though. If you hire someone at his level, you have to make sure that he's going to learn about the environment and reach out to other coaches.
I agree with that.
I'm familiar with that.
I'm just saying it's not his fault for taking the job. It's Tennessee's fault for allowing the program to get in such bad shape where your first 4 or 5 or 6 people turned you down.
Yeah. And it's his fault for not learning the climate faster and understanding what it takes. I mean, that's what anybody would do.
I agree, and that's why I'm saying he does hold some responsibility in year 5. Like at this point, he should have adapted by now. That's what we've been saying all season, all summer. Like at this point, there are no more excuses. You've had plenty of time. He's basically been in college at Tennessee for 4 years. That's how people learn to do the job they're supposed to do. 4 years in college, right? So what's he doing? He's been at Tennessee for 4 years. He's been now the professor of the football program for 4 years, and he hasn't decided to take any outside information or read any studies or adapt his way of teaching to be successful. Hello?
Houston, we have a problem.
That's it. You've had your chance. It's not his fault he took the job. It's not his fault he wasn't cut out to do it. But it is his fault to this point that he hasn't adapted and bettered himself along the way.
We'll get to the phones on the flip side. Stick with us. T-Carp, you're up first after the break right here on 3 and Out.